Hello, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're watching this video from or wherever you're listening from. My name is Ayoti, and this is Eagles Tracker, the home of Nigerian footballers. Welcome to another special edition of the Home of Nigerian Football podcast. And with me, I have a special guest, a player for the Super Falcons and for Paris FC Feminine in France. Please introduce yourself to us.
Hello, everyone. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning. My name is Nadoze Chiamaka, goalkeeper of Paris FC and also Super Falcons of Nigeria.
Okay. So, Chiamaka, today we just want to talk to you and, you know, hear a little bit about the journey that you've been on so far. You know, talk about one or two of the challenges that you faced as a grassroots player and also what it felt like and how, you know, you celebrated or how you reacted when you were able to achieve some of the goals that you had for yourself. So to get into it, my first question, I would just like to know, was there any major challenge that you faced, you know, albeit the fact that Nigeria has numerous challenges, you know, that everybody is facing, as a young girl trying to become a professional footballer, was there one thing or two things that really stood out to you as the toughest challenges that you faced?
Yeah, I think there are a few things that really disturbed me when I was playing, when I was growing up. I think one of them was to provide a kit for myself, like football shoes, gloves, jerseys, because back then the club or the academy doesn't provide jerseys for the players. You know, you just have to get your own jersey on your own, you know, buy your stuffs on your own. So I really had a lot of challenges in getting kits. You know, sometimes I play with barefoot, I keep with bare hands, you know. And secondly, again, I think feeding was a problem, because in during the academy days, you know, the sponsors, they don't really bring food to the camp. You know, we just have to walk around, beg for food on the street, maybe beg some friends, some fans who love watching us while playing. We can just meet them on the way. Hey, please, can you find us little money? And some of them will give you, and we just rush out to one restaurant, you know, just eat some 150, 100 naira rice. Yeah, I think these two are the most difficult challenges I really, really faced, you know, why growing up in Nigeria.
Wow, that's incredible to hear, because I've heard a similar thing from a number of footballers, you know, and sometimes it just sounds like, how are you supposed to train? How are you supposed to play if you are not eating, you know? And for you to say that one of the biggest challenges that you faced was even just having food to eat, you know, before or after training, you know, it's incredible. So my next question would be that, what was the thing that kept you motivated? What gave you hope? Because for a lot of people, it's very easy for them to give up when things are tough, you know. So why was it that you kept on going?
Yeah, I kept on going because of my dad. You know, at a point, he swore that I would never become somebody in life. Oh, you know, he has concluded that I'm just going to be a useless person in life. So, and again, looking at my background, I came from a very poor family. I'm sorry to say that, but I have to be honest. Looking at my mom suffering, like we hardly feed, a lot of things, you know. And I told myself, people are making money from this football. You know, I've seen people become someone in life because of football. And I'm like, that's going to be my motivation. But while I was motivating myself because of my dad, even at a point, he chased me out of the house, you know, that I should leave his house, you know, because I didn't want to learn how to walk or, yeah. So the thing I did was I gave myself time. I called myself, I said, Chiamaka, if I play this football until 20 years, if nothing happened, then I have to go back to my dad and apologize and ask him to accept me back, that now I'm ready to walk, you know, because school was never an option then, because there was no money for school. For university, but I already finished my secondary school. So by God's grace, before I was even 15, you know, I got my first call up from the under 17, and that was a stepping stone for me. So when he saw me on television, he was so happy, and he called me back home that, you know, I should come back, I'm his daughter. So I think he was really the one that made me push so hard to get to this point, because I really want to prove to him that girls do play football. And you can become someone in life by playing football.
That is very tough to even just hear that your father, you know, told you that you're never going to be anything in life and actually kicked you out of the house. You know, that's incredible to hear. So, you know, did you feel any resentment towards your father? Like, I'm happy that you took it as motivation, you know, to improve yourself and to keep on working hard. But some people could have said, you know, I hate my father, you know, I'm not going to have anything to do with him again. How were you able to balance that, especially as a young girl, because you were really young?
Yeah, to be honest with you, everything he was doing then, I really understand that he was trying to make his daughter a better person, because he played while he was growing, nothing came out. My elder brother played, nothing came out. My cousin's sister is a footballer. You know, I even played with her while growing up, nothing came out. And so he was like, you know, football is nothing, you know. So I didn't develop some hate for him because of that, you know. I know he was trying to bring out something in me, but it was not easy to accept it, you know. At the point, I started telling my mom, are you sure this man is my father, you know? But my mom was like, yes, he's your dad, you know. So I just took it as he just wants his daughter to be a better person in life. I didn't take it so bad. Yeah, I understand the man. Yeah.
And I mean, like you said, you know, you understood at least, you understood the perspective that he was maybe coming from a point of, because, you know, he had tried and he had seen other people try. So he just didn't want maybe you to try and fail again. Yeah. But I mean, of course, I'm sure everybody is now happy today that things have worked out, you know, well for you. There's a saying that it's not destination, it's the journey. And sometimes if you don't go through these tough journeys, you know, you're never fully prepared for when you actually arrive at your destination.
Exactly.
Okay, so let me now move forward to my next question, and let's talk about something that is a little bit, you know, happier. When you were able to sign that first contract, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe your first professional team was Rivers Angels.
Yes.
Yes. So when you were able to sign that first contract, you know, Naimbi say somebody is now going to start paying you to play ball. No matter how little the money is, somebody is going to pay you. How did you feel and how did you react?
Wow, I felt so great. You know, I've been a lucky child since I was born. My dreams always do come true. You know, when I was still in Owerri, Imo State, it's my academy. Rivers Angels has been my dream team to play for in Nigeria. At a point, I was even ready to pay someone. Someone promised me that if I should pay her, she's going to take me to Rivers Angels. And the person billed my family 10,000 naira to take me to Rivers Angels. And my mom was trying to gather those money to give to her.
Wow.
So luckily, there is this competition, Airtel Rising Stars competition. They hosted it in Port Harcourt. And my friend called me to come and play for her team, you know. Unlike me, I would say no, but I just went to Port Harcourt. That was my first time to going to Port Harcourt. And I didn't even know that Rivers Angels stays in Port Harcourt. I don't know anything about Rivers Angels, but I just love Rivers Angels because of the glory they've brought to Nigeria in football, you know. So after that, the coach called me and he was like, do you know me? I said, no. So I said, I'm the chief coach of Rivers Angels. Like, it was like a dream, like, oh, I'm talking to the chief coach of Rivers Angels, you know. And he was like, okay, my team, we reach out to you. So let me cut the long story short. After the competition, I won the best goalkeeper in the presence of everyone, the presence of the team manager, the coaches. So they invited me to Rivers Angels camp. When I was there with so many big players, you know, and when they gave me my first contract, it was like a dream. Like, I was like, come on, I need to wake up from this dream. I was so happy. I was so excited, though I was scared. You know, like a young girl like me, I think I was 16 when I signed Rivers Angels, either 15 or 16 when I signed Rivers Angels. A lot of discouragement from everyone. Hey, you are still young. Don't go to Rivers Angels. They have so many big goalkeepers. How can you cope? Well, you know, it was my dream team and I was so happy. I was so, so happy. Like, I called my mom. Hey, mom, I'm getting paid now. I'm happy. I'm not a professional footballer in Nigeria. So I was so happy. I couldn't just imagine everything that really happened, you know, but I was so, so, so happy.
I can imagine. And can you just tell us, you know, I don't know if you can say, but that first contract that you signed, how much were they paying you as Rivers Angels?
Yes, the contract was 50,000 naira. But in Rivers State, when you're a government worker, you must pay your tax. And they take away the tax before you receive your salary. So I was receiving 48,000. Then my tax then was 2,000 naira. Yeah, that was
so. Based on what you said, if you are playing for Rivers Angels, you are considered to be a government worker.
Yeah, of course, because it's
the
government.
The club is run by the state. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, everyone pays tax. They, once you receive your salary, they will extract your tax from your salary. Yeah. You just get the remaining one. Yeah.
Okay, and then now let me ask, you know, about when you got that opportunity to you know, advance, you know, even further in your career. Before I get to that, were you always a goalkeeper? Like, you know, was it something that since you were young, you wanted to, or were you first of all a striker or something? Tell us a little bit about that.
No. Even when I came here in Barry FC, when my coach asked me, when did you started goalkeeping? I told her, and she was so shocked. She was like, even people that started 10 years before me, I'm even better than them. I've been a player right from childhood. I've been playing. All the stories I've been telling you, that was when I was still playing, you know. It was 2012. I was a very, very good player.
What were you playing before?
I was a top striker.
You were a striker?
And I was so fast. Even till now, I'm still fast. Even when I was in River St. George, I was the fastest player in River St. George. You can call the coach to confirm this. I have so many skills in me that people do not know, you know.
Oh, wow.
But because I'm always in the goal, nobody will know that part about me. I'm skillful, like, I can play like a player, I can do anything, you know. So it was 2012, when I was in my academy in Owerri, we were playing a game against the boys, you know, and we were losing 11-2. We were losing. So our goalkeeper, you know, always playing against the boys is always a difficult one, you know. So our goalkeeper was so tired. She was the only goalkeeper that came for the game that very day. She was so tired, you know. So I went to my coach. I said, please, can I help her? And he was like, are you a confused person? Are you a goalkeeper or are you a player? You are a player. You shouldn't be thinking about going to help a goalkeeper. And I'm like, okay, sir. Whenever we are playing in the village with my big brothers, they always put me in the goal because I don't have same strength with them. They might injure me while playing with them, you know. So I have some experience. I can try. And he was like, okay, no problem. I should go in. So I when I went in, it was about 2 minutes to end the game. But I did two good saves, you know. And after the match, he called me. He was like, wow, he never knew I have this talent in me. And he was like, I should meet him the next day that we'll have something to discuss. So the next day when I came, he took me to his office. And then we were preparing for 2012 festival. So he called me and he was like, Chiamaka, you have a very good height. You are still young. You are still open to learn. I saw something in you yesterday, something special, something unique, and I want to bring it out in you. And I'm like, what, sir? And he was like, I want to convert you to a goalkeeper. I said, no, sir, it's not possible. You know, we argued and argued. I said, sir, like, no, it's not possible. Like, I'm a good player. You know, I'm one of your best players. You know it. And how can you think? It's just like telling Haaland that you want to convert him to a goalkeeper. You know, how, like, it doesn't work that way. And he was like, Chiamaka, I saw this thing in you and I promise you it's going to help you in life. I said, no, you know. So he now gave me a condition. You know, he was like, if you accept my request, you will be in my team. You will be among the players traveling for the festival. But if you don't, I have to drop you. You know, I have other senior players. I can't drop them for you. And I'm like, oh, okay. You are trying to be sentimental. You know, he was like, no, that he just wants to help me. So, you know, I started crying and some of my friends advised me. They were like, okay, go. So the next day I started as a goalkeeper instead of playing, you know. I was keeping with bare hands. I was playing with bare foot, you know. That was how I started. Yeah, so.
And since that, you haven't looked back?
No. Sometimes I do regret when I see some players, you know, scoring, you know, sometimes, but. Just like I'm like, what if I was still playing? Who knows where I would have
been? Who knows, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, maybe you won't have been able to stand out because, you know, and this is kind of leading me to my next question, you know. You were somebody that really caught the attention of a lot of people because we had not seen a goalkeeper playing at that level at a very young age. You know, even till now, sometimes when I talk to certain people about you, they're like, wow, like she's so good for the age that she is, you know. So you know, you never really know. And that's the interesting thing in life. You know, you go in one direction. Sometimes you might be thinking, ah, what if I took this other road? But you can never be sure how that road would have gone.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad that you told us that story. It was a very interesting one. And honestly, I don't think I've heard it before. So it's great that you're sharing that with me. Okay. My next question, I want to ask about the World Cup in 2019. So, you know, you got to play for Nigeria, you know, at this biggest stage, you know, it's the biggest competition in football, the World Cup. And you were also able to make a record that I believe is still standing till today and be the youngest goalkeeper to keep a clean sheet, you know, at the World Cup. How did that whole experience, you know, being there and then achieving a record, you know, how did that make you feel?
Wow, seriously, the feeling was, it was like, I don't even know how to describe it, you know, but I was so happy. Like, when I heard the news, you know, I was like, are you guys mistaking me for someone else? You know, I felt so great. I felt so happy. It was not easy. I never believed such moments would happen in my life because, you know, in the Super Falcons, we have so many big goalkeepers and I'm just the smallest, you know, coming to the World Cup with the team, first of all, making the 23-man list, going to the World Cup and even having such an opportunity. It was so great for me. And, you know, during the game, you know, the coach wanted to sub me. Something happened. The first back pass they gave me, I dribbled. And the coach was scared. He was like, Chiamaka, stop dribbling. They gave me the second back pass. I did the same thing. And they nearly took the ball from me. And the coach was like, okay, Tochi, you have to warm up. I need to change her. And he shouted. I heard it. He was like, I'm changing you right away. And maybe some of the coaches there spoke to him like, maybe they should leave me. They should leave me. And I was lucky, you know, I kept a clean sheet and I broke a very big record. I felt so great. I felt so special. And till today, when I remember those records, you know, it keeps motivating me. Like, I can do more. I can do more. Yeah.
Amazing. And I mean, by God's grace, all things being equal, you are going to be a part of the Super Falcons team again, you know, going to this next World Cup in 2023, yeah. four years down the line. So, my second to the last question, you know, being that this young girl from Owerri, you know, first of all, had the dream of being a professional footballer, she was able to achieve that dream. You know, had a dream of playing for Nigeria, she was able to achieve that dream. Had a dream of playing at the World Cup, she was able to achieve that dream and even break a record. As you are sitting today, you know, what is your next goal? What is your next dream that you have for yourself, you know, in your career?
Yeah, so many dreams, so many things I want to do in my career, but I would say the biggest one is I just have two biggest dreams, you know, I want to really achieve in my career before stepping out. You know, first of all, I would want to win a league title with my club, and I would also want to win a world trophy with Nigeria. Not African trophy, no, I've won African trophies for Nigeria about like two or three times. You know, world trophy. It might be Olympics, it might be World Cup, anything, but anything world. I don't want Africa. Like, doing these two things, like, it will mean a lot to me. Like, once I've achieved these two things, I think I'm satisfied. Yeah, not really satisfied, but these are the main things.
The main goals, like,
these two things. Winning a trophy with my team and winning a world trophy with Nigeria. Yeah.
No, yeah, and I mean, if Nigeria is able to win, you know, a world trophy, trust me, you'll be making millions and millions of people happy. So,
yeah.
You know, it would both be that personal pride and also just the pride of doing something great for your nation.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
and then I believe we can do that. Yeah,
I believe so too. You know, I mean, me. Yeah. Sometimes people even tell me that I defend people too much, but the belief that I have in the Super Falcons is honestly a lot.
Me
you know,
too. I shouldn't believe in that team. Yeah. I do.
Okay. So yeah, my final question for you, you know, before I let you go, if there's any young boy, young girl, maybe even an older person that's watching this video, you know, doesn't have to be a footballer. You know, the person might be a student, the person might be a doctor, a teacher, whatever, you know, everybody has their own dreams and their own goals.
Yeah.
What is your message to that person that is chasing a dream, whatever that dream is?
Do the right thing, even when nobody's watching you. For example, some footballers, maybe if they're on personal trainings, they cheat because nobody's watching them and they think maybe they are cheating on those who gave them the training program. No, you know, being sincere to yourself is very, very important, you know. So whoever you are, wherever you are, whatsoever you are doing, always do the right thing, even when nobody's watching you. And hard work pays also. Will I say I'm a testimony or I mean like... It is. I'm a living testimony. Hard work pays. It might take a little bit of time, but at the end, it will all worth it. You know, patience also. Patience. But don't be patient for nothing. Be patient for something. When you're working hard and when you're being patient, don't do them for nothing. Hope on something, then work on it, then have patience. And I promise you it will surely fall in place.
Amazing, amazing words from the fantastic Chiamaka Nnadozie. Thank you very much for chatting with me today. Thank you for sharing your incredible story with us and, of course, offering Thank that advice so to our viewers. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Thank you.